Jeannie Clavel's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President, CEO of McKinney Clavel. Today is October 6, 2017, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Weekly podcast. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Clavel. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I am great, Michael. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. It's Friday. I don't know if you're ready, but are you ready for the big game this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. We got that big game Sunday night, the Chiefs and the Texans. Looking forward to that meeting between Alex Smith and Deshaun Watson, you know.
Wait. I'm talking about the U.S. national team and my buddy Chris Wondolowski playing Panama. I'm not talking about, well, I guess most of the fans out there in the audience would be appreciating your commentary rather than mine, but.
Soccer. Okay. This, yeah. You know, this is the U.S., right?
Yeah, okay. It is. Yeah. The international community calls it
right,
football.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, hey, it's great to talk to you today. And today what we wanted to talk about is two things. Number one, we wanted to give everybody a sugar update, what's going on with harvest, the market, Mexico, and any other weather issues that we've had or are planning on having. And then shift over quickly to where you were at this week, and that was Washington, D.C., at the annual Global Oil and Fats Forum. And so we'll get a recap of what happened there. But let's go ahead and get started with sugar. The beet harvest is on its way, and we're about 20% complete in most of the – or in the biggest producing states. Seems like we're slightly ahead of a schedule in certain areas, with Idaho leading the charge. But everything is looking good for the beet harvest and beet production, with some minor issues or problems or concerns in the Michigan area with their tons per acre. But overall, the beet harvest looks like it's progressing nicely. Shifting over to cane, Nicole, we're still trying to get reports on Hurricane Irma's right. effects in Florida. I think what we're hearing is anywhere between 5 to 10% loss, but it's really a mixed bag of who you talk to down in Florida as to what the true impact on Florida production will
sure,
be.
Sure, sure. And now we're looking towards something else potentially coming our direction, huh?
Yeah, and you know, I had to remind my wife that Tropical Storm Nate is not my son's temper tantrum, but actually another tropical storm heading up this way, and it's made its way through some of the CAFTA nations, and it's heading its way up through the Gulf of Mexico right now, and not much of a concern for the Veracruz area. I think it'll be far east of that. But what we're concerned here in the United States is New Orleans. And we have two facilities there, Chalmette and Gramercy, both the ASR and LSR facilities. And we know from the past that if one of those goes down, two huge refineries, it can cause havoc with cane production, which is not something we need right now.
Right. We'll keep our fingers crossed and hopefully we'll miss the worst of it.
Yep. And so just the other thing that we've talked about in the last few weeks is Louisiana. And as far as their harvest, they're just starting. They've had some wet weather, and then with Hurricane Harvey, some additional wetness in that area. So too soon to tell what will happen. New crop has been planted and is almost complete, but we're still waiting to hear on that. And then finally, Mexico. We've talked about the extreme high prices in Mexico, over 40 cents for both Estendar and I know it's crazy. We've seen a little bit of weakness this week, and we're just waiting for the next harvest to start in late November, early December. Obviously, those higher prices has affected imports into the United States. We ended up this last crop year well behind the imports expected due to the higher prices in Mexico. And as we move forward, they are a key part, according to the USDA, in what their projections are of imports from Mexico and the United States. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that. And then finally, the reference spice is a big thing down there in Mexico, right,
yep,
Nicole?
Absolutely. That time of year for that, too.
Yeah, they're estimating that as we wrap up this last crop year, the cane growers are pretty excited about what the final price will be for this last crop year and what the announcement of their reference price for this upcoming year as they get 57% of that reference price from the mills.
Lots going on with the world of sugar that time of year, I guess, huh?
Exactly. So that's a quick recap on sugar. Now, you were in Washington, D.C., and I understand this is your first time in Washington, D.C.
It was. I'm almost ashamed to say it, but I think it comes down to my parents were big on road trips, and that was a long drive from St. Louis. And we had to weigh it, you know, D.C. or Disney World with a bunch of kids. I guess Disney World won out more often than not for that. But
I could see that.
But yeah, no, actually, Mike, it was great. It was an honor to be invited to the Global Oils and Fats Forum. It was held this week in Washington, D.C. Was quite the experience to not only be in our nation's capital for the first time, but to also attend this conference that was held at the Malaysian Embassy in cooperation with the Malaysian Palm Oil Board and some major producers in that country. And the audience consisted of everybody from dignitaries and the Malaysian ambassador to the U.S., if you can imagine that, various producers, exporters and domestic sellers of palm oil, market analysts, and of course, the press. And I met some great people there. Had some colorful conversations, I'll leave to the imagination. And of course, you have to feel a little special when you're at the embassy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a great, great forum. Can you give the audience a couple highlights of major takeaways?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the conference was extremely informative about edible oils markets in general, but much of the focus was on palm oil and this opportunity for growth and usage in the U.S. No surprise there. But a few things were discussed, and for the sake of time, I'll just highlight a few of them. First, just to reiterate a few basic facts about palm oil. It's actually the most produced edible oil in the world. Now, we don't really think about that here in the States, with soybean oil being the dominant oil produced and consumed in this country. But on the world stage, palm oil is about 30% of the world's production compared to soybean oil at about 27%. And it leads price direction for edible oil in the global market. So most of that palm oil comes from two countries, Indonesia, the leading producer of palm oil, and Malaysia, which has been in the forefront of palm oil production with a long history, as I learned more about that during the conference, of developing that industry, including research on the oil palm itself. As such, 54% of all oil exports, so taking into account all the oils exported, including soy, canola, and everything else, 54% of all that oil exported comes from Malaysia and Indonesia combined. So obviously, in terms of the oil market as a whole, what happens in those two countries and specifically with palm oil has a huge impact on the global supply of oil and as such prices. So speaking of, there was obviously some discussion of pricing and trends for the future, and I'll try to sum it up as such. Edible oil consumption as a whole is expected to continue increasing at a reasonable rate. In fact, for palm oil alone, demand is expected to reach 85 million metric tons by 2025. Wow. And the weather is obviously a big factor, especially since so much of that production takes place in a relatively small region of the world. Now, that has improved as we moved away from an El Nino, but considering we've been in this sort of neutral scenario as opposed to a swing back to a La Nina, which is favorable to moisture and as such production within Southeast Asia, the production rebound for palm oil hasn't been as large as we've seen in the past. So we're in the middle of what's typically a 3-year recovery period after a major weather-related issue, and that's keeping prices well supported. So prices are expected to remain elevated, at least relative to historical levels. And that's why we've had this weird pricing scenario this season. For those who watch it closely have probably noticed that prices hit what may have been the bottom for this season around July. And typically that comes a little later after production peaks seasonally. Now, listening to some of the analysts who spoke, there was at least a slight suggestion we may, emphasizing may, see some additional pressure on prices in the next 3 months or so. So we'll keep our eyes open for that. And then lastly, just some things to consider for the future and some of the other topics discussed during the forum. Expanding production, of course, within Malaysia and Indonesia. Most of that focus is on increasing yields. And yields are pretty good as it stands. Oil palm is the highest yielding oil produced producing plant of the major oil seeds. But also looking at some other places to grow palm oil production globally. You know, similar to cocoa, oil palm grows best in this pretty narrow latitude band. So with that, significant efforts are being made to increase production in Latin America, most notably Colombia, the largest producer in that region. Also, efforts being made to increase production in Africa. Some production already exists in Liberia and Nigeria that the industry hopes to increase over the next few years. So that was interesting. And then a little conversation about combating Ganoderma. So Ganoderma is a fungus that can affect oil palms. And no joke here, it's called Ganoderma butt rot. Yes, I know. As mature as I should be at my age, it still reverts me back to being a 7-year-old in grade school. But what's not funny is its impact on the oil palm tree, attacking the wood of the tree and eventually reaching the xylem, which transfers water throughout the tree. So that Ganoderma effectively kills the tree. And it's spread by spores. There's no cure for it. And the fungus can remain in the soil, tainting it and preventing easy replacement of that tree. So when you consider production of oil palm being in tropical areas, all it takes is a typhoon with some strong wind to help spread it. And the industry will continue to work on solutions to this, including potentially developing a tree resistant to it. A couple more things. Labor shortages have been a problem of late, which is leading to additional evaluation of ways to increase mechanization of harvesting. Of course, additional research on 3-MCPD. Now, this became a big story earlier this year. Everyone probably remembers the whole Nutella story with grocers pulling it off the shelves because it contained palm oil. The issue is the presence of 3-MCPD in palm oil, which actually shows up in quite a few oils, just not to the degree as palm oil. And its categorization as a carcinogen, and whether or not anyone's consumption of this is significant enough to truly have an impact on health. So obviously, there's a lot of discussion about the science and sort of the consumer perception, sometimes in lieu of looking at the science. But to address this, the industry is evaluating the entire production process and where within it exposure takes place. For instance, the fact that 3-MCPD is a chloropropanol, say that 5 times fast, it could be from exposure to chlorine during washing within the production process. And think about it. Chlorine shows up in the water supply in a lot of places globally, and chlorine is in that water for a reason. So it's a bit more complex than simply saying palm oil contains this and as such should be shunned. And I'm glad to see the industry making effort to educate and examine it on a deeper level. And then lastly, probably most important for a lot of our buyers and our listeners, the expansion of sustainable palm oil production globally. And most people are familiar with the Roundtable of Sustainable Palm Oil, or RSPO, as we call it for short, which essentially establishes a core set of requirements for oil palm producers. Things like no deforestation, limiting the burning of fields, et cetera. But Malaysia is taking it a step further, promoting MSPO, which is Malaysia Sustainable Palm Oil, with a goal of all their production meeting that standard by 2019. So sustainability continues to be a major trend, not just for the palm oil production, but for the food industry in general. So for users of sustainable palm oil, it's a way of saying that the availability of that specific type of palm oil should increase over the years and not decline. So Great, very informative conference. Highly recommend people check it out in the future. It was incredibly eye-opening for me. So glad to attend and be in D.C.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, and now you've made your first visit there, and I'm sure you'll be back for more. So Absolutely. It sounds like a great conference. And, you know, we've seen palm oil demand increase pretty significantly. And it sounds like the industry is taking the steps to not only protect what is there, but also make it sustainable, too.
Exactly.
So, great. Well, that wraps up our weekly commodity podcast. And I want to thank everybody for attending. Next week, we'll have our WASDE recap podcast. And so look forward to that. And then look forward to our invitation to our Intro to Hedging, which you'll be presenting. Nicole will get everybody some basics about hedging, a very hot topic with many of our client base. So look forward to that.
Yes, especially after WASDE next week. We'll see what type of surprises that provides the market that hedging may have helped with. So
exactly. Everybody enjoy the big game tonight. I know everybody's going to be watching the U.S. versus Panama.
Go U.S.
game,
so. Go.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And maybe, just maybe, they'll put Chris Wondolowski in. All right. Okay. So great. Thank you guys. And we'll talk to you in the future. Have a great weekend.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com. Also visit us on LinkedIn for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.